presented by the Citizens.
All right, hello and welcome to another episode of the Brian's World Live Podcast. I'm your host, Brian James, author and radio host here on the East Coast, Baltimore, to be to the exact. What it do, though? What's happening? Yes, welcome to another week, and we're inching into the summer, and it's just a blessing to be able to experience the new vibes of a new season, and it's good to be here with you. Today, I literally stumbled over, like, when I say stumbled, like, I wasn't looking for this at all, but I stumbled over something that I ended up binge-watching on Amazon Video, I guess is what it's called, or Prime Video, whatever. It's something called Couples Therapy. Now, I watched the first season, which actually dropped in 2019, I believe. So I'm a little behind the eight ball when it comes to like the Couples Therapy series. But they did release a second season, which came out in 2021. So I guess that's kind of what made it relevant and why, you know, it popped up on my suggested things to watch, because you know, with the recent season coming out, maybe they want you to watch the first one. And it got me. I tapped in and I learned so much about relationships and about marriage just from watching these couples. It followed like five or six couples that, you know, just they're going through therapy. You know, therapy as a couple, and you just get a different perspective of relationships and of marriage as it relates to today's world, if you will. So I took some notes down. I would love to share them with you, and then hopefully, you know, if you haven't seen it, you could tap into it, or if you have seen it, it'd be good to hear some of your opinions on it as well. But, you know, to say that I learned a lot is an understatement. So let's tap into it, baby. Episode 160 of the Brian's World Live Podcast.
This is the place where your dreams come true.
It is Brian's World.
So listen. Coming at you.
All right, so before anything, I have to say, like, you know, what initially caught my attention is that I've always been enamored with the idea of potentially sitting down with couples who have taken the jump, if you will, who've made that leap, and have jumped the broom, and you know, they step into a whole other world that, honestly, like, you know, even though I've been exposed to it since I was a child, you know, my parents have been married for like 33 plus years at this point, but like, even though I was exposed to it, you know, I still always felt like I could learn something just from discussing different things with different couples. So, you know, initially that's what caught my attention. Now, I watched the entire series. The therapist's name is Orna, and she's just a beautiful soul, beautiful spirit. Like, I could see myself sitting there talking with her for days, like, not even hours, y'all. Like, I sit there forever. But she just has that warm spirit that you just kind of attach to. You know, throughout the entire series, you can kind of see these couples, even, you know, some of the more guarded couples, mostly the men, ironically, but that's a whole different conversation. You can even see them begin to open up, you know. And one of the first things that I notice is just kind of how heroic our therapists really are. And I want to start there by saying thank you. Okay. Thank you to, you know, definitely my therapist, Dr. Cole. But, you know, just therapists in general, because seeing what Orna had to endure from each couple's conversation, she literally, you know, basically, because, you know, she has a therapist, which is smart, but I think it's like more of like a clinical advisor, if you will. And it showed some of her sessions with her advisor, and she was just talking about how heavy it is to sit there and just basically listen to couples argue all day about different things that, you know, I feel like majority of them are minuscule or just things that were kind of blown out of proportion. But she's witnessing all of this chaos and carrying all of this chaos so that she can help sort it out and hopefully create a road that is less chaotic for the couples to walk out of her office with, you know. And just something about hearing her kind of explain that to her advisor, to her therapist, something about that just made me realize how heavy, you know, the day-to-day life is for people in that industry. So, you know, from the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you for all the work that you've done, not just for me, but just, you know, for the people around me that I know that are in therapy as well, you know. So Another thing that I took a liking to or understood, whether I liked it or not, the lesson was there, is that not all differences are meant to be changed. When it comes to your relationships, you know, when it comes to our relationships, when it comes to marriage, it just kind of seemed like everybody who sat on her couch, regardless of your gender, regardless of your background, regardless of, like, you know, your race or anything, everybody who sat there is carrying something. You know, nobody's perfect. And I know it's something that we always say, but I wonder how often do we really process those words that nobody's perfect. Everybody's decorated with imperfections, and I say decorated because we make it look good. We make it look good. Sometimes we dress up in a three-piece suit and you know, cover up, you know, try to cover up the imperfections that we have, you know. Or sometimes we may, you know, drown ourselves in all types of knowledge and all types of books and things, you know, just to try to talk ourselves out of our imperfection, or to try to, you know, say different things or show different things that distract us or distract others from our imperfections. But at the end of the day, we all are imperfect. We all are carrying different things. And more specifically, as it relates to what I've learned in couples therapy, we're all carrying baggage from our childhoods. Whether you had a beautiful, bright childhood, and you think that the world is beautiful and bright, and you're jaded by that perception, or whether you had a horrible childhood, a horrible attachment to relationships, watching your parents argue all day, every day, sometimes violent, and you have a jaded perception, another jaded perception on the other end of the spectrum of the world around you, or of the world of relationships. No matter what it is, we all have been exposed to something in our childhood that we are trying to live out in adulthood. And there's so many different variations of life that, you know, it takes some work. It takes some work to make our inner child, our inner children, if you will. It takes some work to make our inner children learn to play with each other, you know. It takes some work for a child who has witnessed a chaotic upbringing surrounding the idea of marriage and surrounding love. It takes some work for that inner child to learn to play with someone who grew up in a world where they thought everything was perfect. You never saw your parents argue. And what I'm seeing is that, like, number one, I mean, there ain't going to be no perfect situation. It's not going to be no perfect marriage. For that reason right there, for that specific reason right there, trying to make the two inner children, I should say, I don't know why I was about to say inner child, so that was not about to go well. But trying to make those two inner children find common ground to play in the sandbox in, that's the work. And even the work right there seems to be twofold, because what was interesting is, like, Orna would bring out that inner child, or bring out whatever happened that created said insecurity that is making that marriage or making that relationship straining. She would bring it out, you know. And when the conversation brought it out, it wasn't just the person that it was happening to that was recognizing it. It was also the partner that was recognizing it. So even once you bring out that inner child, it's not just the work of you accepting it so that you can learn to love. It's also going to be the work of your partner who has to accept that so that they can learn to love you. And then vice versa, when their inner child comes out. It's like, I just feel like sometimes we move so quick through life that, you know, and even speaking for myself, you know, we move so quick that, like, we just have a tendency to not really nurture the inner child. Have a tendency to kind of just say, okay, you know, that was yesterday, and that's not going to affect my tomorrow. But in actuality, and, you know, something else was cemented by watching couples therapy, is that, you know, that's not true. Whether you like it or not, whether you appreciate it or not, or whether you welcome it or not, your yesterday is going to have an effect on your tomorrow. how you've viewed relationships or how you've seen relationships growing up, through your teenage years, and even through your college years, and even your young adult years, how you've seen it all and what you have witnessed, it is going to play a role in, you know, what happens for you tomorrow, or for us tomorrow, I should say. So instead of pretending like it doesn't exist and allowing it to dominate the situation, because that's another thing that, you know, she basically showed once these inner children came out, she basically showed how those past situations, whether you've admitted it or not, those past situations have already dominated 20 plus years of marriage. It's already created friction between you and your wife or you and your husband. Like these, like that, it was just so enlightening to watch the inner child just rise out of these patients and then kind of reveal itself in the past, the 20 years of their marriage. And then you just watch people, like the light bulb just goes off, like, wow, like, this is what I've been dealing with, you know? So it's like, whether we admit it or not, yesterday does matter to tomorrow. But it's kind of like, remember how I always talk about the Babadook? If you haven't seen the Babadook, I love that movie because it just, you know, it. Sometimes you ain't trying to get rid of the monster. Sometimes you're not trying to get rid of your past. That's not smart. You can't do that. Getting rid of your past is like how time flies by. You live in a life that, you know, full of pain and strife that we didn't have to do. Because it's not about getting rid of the past. It's about admitting the past. It's about understanding the past, acknowledging the past. So that you can have a conversation about your past with your partner. So that you can have a conversation about your past with yourself. To kind of figure out how, you know, to treat it so that you can move forward. And I don't mean treat it as in heal it. I just mean how to take care of it. How to take care of your past so that it doesn't hinder your future. How to take care of your past heartbreaks so that they don't hinder your future marriage. Or in relation to the Babadook, how to put that daggone Babadook in the basement so that it stop haunting you. You know, like, I love that part of the movie. The end of the movie, I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to spoil it. Well, this ain't a movie review podcast, so I ain't got to say spoiler alert. Like, you know. Anyways, forget that. But yeah, that's just something that, you know, one of my favorite things that I picked up on from watching it. It's not about changing your partner, you know. It's about deciding whether or not you want to accept your partner's inner child. And then if you want to accept your partner's inner child, learning to work with it. Learning to work with them. To embrace that inner child and to cultivate and to take care of that inner child so that it doesn't affect your future together. Not all differences need to be changed. Some need to just be accepted. The next thing that I picked up on from couples therapy is that it really boils down to one question, because see, it's simple. Do you want it or not? Do you want it or not? Some of these situations that we heard, and I don't want to get into it because now I do want to give a spoiler alert with it. I don't want to get all the way into detail with it because if you haven't seen it, I want you to watch it, you know. But some of these situations are literally some of the most convoluted things I've ever heard when it comes to relationships. Like a lot of situations, it took me a minute to just wrap my head around, okay, what? Like this is what they're dealing with, you know. But some of the longest couples on the show have been dealing with this for obviously the longest times. And you hear them kind of say that, you know, they choose to fight, if you will. They choose their partner, if you will, at every juncture, no matter how chaotic things have been, you know, trying to learn each other and whatnot. They always come back to choosing to figure it out. That's technically the reason why they were sitting on the couch in the first place. Because, you know, they were choosing to figure it out as opposed to choosing to walk out. Even one couple that I was worried about in particular, and they did something in it that, you know, you're going to be like, well, I don't know if they're going to make it. But if you really think about it, then I think they're going to be all right. I'll be interested to check on them. We'll get to that later. But this one couple in particular, you know, even with them, it kind of seemed like you ain't know what was going to happen, if they're going to make it, blah, 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 blah. But then you stop and really think that they came and sat on the couch. And at the end of the series, they didn't come to any like, I don't want to be here type thing. You know, they just came to the understanding that no matter what, they choose to fight each other. Fight for each other, not fight each other. Well, a little bit of both. But I meant to say fight for each other, you know. And they kind of saw the value in simply making that decision, even if it is subconscious sometimes, you know. So it just kind of cemented, and I kind of had an idea of this going into it. I may have overvalued it until this. But there is a question that has to be asked in every situation, you know, relationship, marriage, whatever, you know. It's just, do you want it? Very simple. You know, is this what you want? Are you willing to fight for this? Are you willing to go to bat every time? Bruised and battered, not physically, not actually feel like, if you're dealing with that, that's serious, you know. But are you willing to go get back up and go for more outside of that type of situation, outside of the physical altercations? It was just a metaphor, just a figure of speech, if you will. Are you as a couple willing to get back up and choose each other again? Because, you know, based off of this couples therapy series, I mean, that question is going to be tested quite often. And it's kind of hinged on the whole inner child thing, you know. Just like a child throws a fit, I think that our inner child, inner children, that is throwing me through a loop, yo. just like how a child throws a fit, I think that our inner children throws a fit sometimes. It wants attention. And in turn, that, you know, that strains that question. Well, that, do you want it? It's going to always ask that question. Do you want it? And you're going to have to prove your answer at some junctures. So, I enjoyed seeing how those couples chose that, because, man, that's love. You know, you choose to fight, not each other, but you choose to fight for each other, if that makes sense. And it really boils down to the one question of, do you want it? Another thing is, every action has a reaction. Every action has a reaction. So, you know, for me, I've mentioned how much I struggle with passive aggressiveness, not just in relationships, but just, you know, in life in general. And, you know, depending on how close to me you are, you're probably shaking your head like, yeah, he right. Yeah, he do. But what I notice is that even some of those passive, silent actions, they have a reaction. You know, you knock the domino over, it's going to fall somewhere else. The next one's going to fall. Even if you turn your head for it, the next one's going to fall. Even if you pretend like it didn't happen, it did. You know? So it kind of hinted to me. Like, a lot of these couples were doing little petty things. And we all do petty things, you know, in some way, shape, or form. And sometimes, you know. But it definitely highlighted for me how costly some of those petty things are. It's like petty operates on a whole different currency of, you know, how much certain decisions cost. Whole different currency. On one end, it seems so small. But sometimes those petty things create the biggest waves. The biggest waves. It's like, this might be a little graphic, so I hope you're not eating enough. And if you are eating, this is that kind of warning. Like, it's like when I go on my jog to my prayer spot, I always, like, because I just get full of fluid and everything. So, you know, I just go into the water. And it's just be the smallest little drop. But, like, when I'm really tapped into, like, whatever I'm thinking about, when I'm really tapped into a conversation with the Most High, I can follow, like, the waves of that just one little drop. And it just gets wider and wider and wider and wider and wider. I mean, eventually it disappears. But it always traps my mind into thinking, like, wow, that one little drop created, it wasn't no big tidal wave, but let's not be dramatic here. But it did create a ripple effect, a growing wave, if you will. I mean, this is the Baltimore Harbor, so again, I'm not talking about a tsunami here. but you know, just a ripple effect of a growing wave, you know. And I think that the petty decisions that we make, not just in relationships, I can't speak for marriage because I'm not married, there is no ring on my finger, but not just in relationships or, you know, anything, but you know, even in our personal lives, like just sometimes those petty things actually do add up, you know, and maybe a small drop that becomes a bigger wave as it grows, as it grows, as it grows, and one decision leads to another. Petty. It just adds up, you know. Every action has a reaction, even the passive aggressive ones in relationships. Every action has a reaction. And to hear, you know, these couples kind of unwind, you know, some of those petty actions and then get a chance to see how, even though it was a petty action, how it caused a heavy reaction. Just to kind of see the light bulbs go off in that aha moment, if you will. It taught me something, you know. It affirmed something for me. That petty is as petty does. Petty will be what petty will be. It's always low-hanging fruit, you know, high cost, low reward situations and decisions. Communication is just always better. And it was interesting, and I would be interested to dive into this later, hopefully, you know, with an expert or something, because clearly I'm no expert. But, you know, it was interesting that a lot of the guys in the couple or whoever assumed the, you know, quote-unquote male role of, you know, said couples kind of experienced this aha moment where they finally understood the passive aggressiveness. Now, personally, I think that it's because as men, you know, we are kind of encouraged subconsciously or passively by, you know, by society to, you know, kind of pretend like certain things don't exist, kind of pretend like certain emotions can't exist, certain thoughts can't exist. And, you know, I think it kind of leads to a very, very, very light passive aggressive approach to relationships in the world around us, you know, without really understanding that, you know, that passive aggressiveness is actually being petty and can be petty, you know, and it does have a huge ripple effect. Because a lot of those light bulbs that went off around, you know, this particular topic, those light bulbs went off over top of the husband's head. Over top of the, you know, whoever assumed the quote unquote male role head, you know. So it was very interesting. But every action has a reaction. Now, it was a particular episode. I don't want to give away too much, but I will say that this character's name is Deshaun. Okay. This character's name is Deshaun. He's a black man, a big black man. And yeah, I put emphasis on big black man because, you know, black, like if you're a black person listening to this right now, you understand how much of a target you can feel like you are when you're out in the public at large. And, you know, just to kind of hear him describe how much he felt like a target in different situations, you know, whether you're dealing with law enforcement or whether you're dealing with just corporate America, like it just certain, like he just talks about certain things that he dealt with at work that, you know, he had to act like he didn't understand, but he felt like it really went down to race. And he talked about how him and his wife talked about the effect that had on the relationship because she's not of color, or I put like this, she's not black, you know. And I'll just leave it right there. I definitely don't want to spoil that for you because that was one of my favorite episodes. But it helped me to kind of understand that life outside the house matters. Now, that's been a personal struggle for me when it comes to my relationship life since I was, like, in high school. Like, the things that we deal with outside of the house, it does bleed into our relationships because it does our relationships. I sped through that word, so you might not have heard what I said. I'm a little bit excited right now. But it does bleed into our relationships. because whether you like it or not, you know, it is pressure. It just adds more to that particular part of the brain. I forgot that exact part of the brain that just handles, you know, different daily functions and stuff like that. But it just adds more stress to that particular part of the brain, clouding judgment in certain situations, clouding decision making in certain situations, clouding the ability to attach to the world outside, you know, around you in certain situations. And also things that happen outside of the house can create friction within the house because of the inability to attach to something that happened outside of the house, you know, dealing with your partner because of a lifestyle or something that like it ain't your thing, you know. It's like if I was dating somebody who, I don't know, who's into like, well, nah, I like rockets and stuff. I don't know. Somebody who's into like marine life. Like, I can't even swim. You know, so if you're talking about certain things and algae and blah, 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 woo, woo, or you have a bad day on a job where, you know, a bad day that I couldn't necessarily understand, you know, it would be the best of me. It would be very mature of me as a partner to, though I don't understand what a bad day looks like for a marine biologist, to allow that person to experience that bad day without me adding more weight to it, if that makes sense. Or even on the financial side of things, how straining it could be to be in a financial tizzy while trying to be in a relationship. Or I can imagine how it is, you know, being married and hitting a tough time. Things outside of the house affect the relationship, you know. And on the contrary, ignoring those things, I feel like, are very costly. Because, you know, as Orna mentioned in the series, you know, it creates resentment. It just encouraged me to really remember that, you know, though I ain't got nothing to do with some of the things that like my partner would face outside of the house, though I ain't got nothing to do with it, you know, it is my job to understand it. It is our job to respect it. And it is our job to understand how detrimental it could be to a relationship. What Deshaun was going through, for real, was something that I leaned into the screen because, like, I ain't the biggest dude. You know what I mean? I'm not the biggest dude. Like, but, you know, I'm tatted up. You know, I got a nose ring, two earrings, and, you know, I drive a two-seater. Sometimes I be blasting music and stuff like that. Things that just, you know, a lot of people. And I mean, that's just those differences in general. I think the differences are what makes us feel like a target. And I'll put it like that. Sometimes I do feel an unnecessary pressure in certain situations. And it just is what it is, you know. But whoever I marry has to kind of understand that that exists. Deshaun's wife, and I'm not trying to spoil the whole situation, but I'll just say his wife had to really stop and understand what Deshaun was going through as a black man. And when that episode takes place, I would encourage you to take notes on it. Regardless of what side of the conversation you want, just take notes, because it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be very enlightening to look back over them after the series is over. But just understand that, like, once you, or this is, just, and I'm not talking at you, I'm actually trying to figure this out myself. Like, once you love someone and once you commit to someone, it's just like Wale said, like, two planets become one. And those planets are big, you know, by themselves. Like, our lives as single people, I mean, you can experience anything, especially, you know, now with the pandemic and all of that. Like, it's so many issues and so many things that are happening or that could happen. Like, as a single man or as a single woman, imagine how crazy things can be when two planets collide and create one planet. That planet is not just what happens in the home. It's not just what happens when y'all on a date. It's what happens when you know, they by themselves. There's some things you don't even know. Now, granted, you can't be necessarily held accountable for things you don't know. And then that goes back to communication. I do agree with that 100%. But the job of like a partner is to understand the other partner has a life of their own, and that things outside of the home definitely affect what happens in a relationship. Now, when you see that particular part of the series, I would love to hear about what you thought about it. Another thing that I found interesting was that I was very uncomfortable watching this. Very uncomfortable. Not just that particular episode, but the entire series. And what made me uncomfortable was like I felt seen. You know, I felt like I had on Speedos in a private beach, and then all of a sudden I look up and there's a million people out there, and they're just looking at me like, you know, like, whoa, bro got on Speedos. You know? Now, you know me, I'm just gonna say, well, I'm gonna own it. It just is what it is. We naked out here. Forget it. Hope everybody good to go. But, you know, it's still a little bit of discomfort. I mean, it just is what it is. It's sitting there with Speedos on. It's 2021, you know? But it made me uncomfortable because I could see myself in every single person that sat on that couch, male and female. Made me very uncomfortable, very seen. It made me feel like, wow, like, I need to work on this, or wow, I need to take care of that, or I need to focus on this, or focus on that. You know, those were just things that thoughts that just were just floating around the TV as I was watching it, you know. But what it helped me to do, and this is kind of why I brought this up, is like, even in the discomfort of seeing yourself, even how uncomfortable it can be to look in the mirror sometimes, or how uncomfortable it can be to look in the mirror and you know you got something on your face and you just want to know how bad it is. Or if you know you spilt something on your white shorts, you just want to know how bad it is. Well, I guess you could look down and see that, but you know what I'm trying to say. No matter how uncomfortable it is, you got to look at it to see where the stain is at. You know? It's like eating something that just messes up your mouth and you dove in and you good at like a really good chili dog, like a really good chili dog. And you got to go clean up your face, yo. How you going to do it without a mirror? Because you're definitely going to forget, you know, that one little corner of your mouth if you ain't looking at it. Or that the part of the chili that got in your beard, for the guys or the people who have beards, you know what I'm talking about. You're going to miss it, you know. It may be uncomfortable to see yourself in a messy way like that. But I learned something from that. I learned more about myself from seeing myself in every single person that sat on Orner's couch. And I don't know if it's going to make you feel the same way. I really don't care. It's not, it may sound like that was the direction I'm going, but let's back out and let's go the other direction and look at situations that make us uncomfortable when we kind of reveal ourselves to ourselves. There's a learning opportunity in those uncomfortable situations of seeing ourselves for who we really are. There's no reason to fear looking at ourselves for who we really are. And as this series proved, when a lot of these people, a lot of these lovers were able to see themselves for who they really are, they became better lovers for their partners. And even more importantly, they became better lovers of themselves. Because in learning to love ourselves, we got to learn to love ourselves. Wait, I said that wrong. In learning to love ourselves, we have to learn ourselves. That's what I meant to say. And watching that just kind of solidified for that for me, because though I was uncomfortable, you know, seeing these separate lovers just deal with whatever they're dealing with, and not even dealing with it, but approaching whatever they're dealing with, how they approached it. And then looking at myself and saying, wow, I do the same thing. This is crazy. I didn't know it was this punitive. I didn't know that it could be this toxic to approach different situations how I've been approaching them. Very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. You feel called out. You feel like, you know, dang, it's me, public enemy number one. But then you realize that, you know, okay, It's just some chili in my beard. Or even more, like even crazier, like noticing an imperfection, having an imperfection. Something I ain't even really ready to go all the way into on a public platform, but just knowing that I have certain imperfections that are there, sometimes I hate to see it. But noticing those imperfections, digesting those imperfections, I do have to remind myself of that sometimes so that I don't hold on to the anxiety that's associated with it. It's more or less just admitting that it's there, knowing that it's there, and dealing with it. It's going to make you uncomfortable. I'm willing to bet it is. I think it's going to make you uncomfortable. But with that discomfort, be okay with it. You know, take it and run with it. Run full speed to a better you and a better lover for your partner. Okay, I want to say lastly, but it ain't. I learned so much from this series, man. I'm just saying one of the last things I learned so we can wrap this up. One of the last things I learned is how overrated right and wrong is. Very overrated, yo. Very overrated. And the reason I say that is because you can kind of see how much time couples spend on trying to be right and then proving the other person wrong. That sometimes we waste time doing stuff like that. Like, the conversation becomes dominated with you trying to prove a point, becomes a court case. You trying to prove a point, trying to prove your point and prove the other person wrong. In so much that you're not even just saying, look, like some court cases, right? Like with the Derek Chauvin case and all of that. It took weeks. It took weeks to get there. It took weeks. And then because it took weeks to take more time for sentencing, which I don't even think he's been sentenced yet. But in a court of law, I mean, I guess that's needed, you know, because you got to prove the person guilty. I get it. But in love, imagine how much time we waste when we just sitting there. Well, you said this and this is this. And then the other person like, well, you said this, this is this. And then you argue, go away from it. Come back to it with more points. Well, I figured this out. I found this out. Da, 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 da. Well, I found this out. Da, 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 as opposed to just from the beginning, from the jump, just choosing to love each other. Just choosing to love each other enough to just say, okay, we just got to figure out the best way to find common ground as quickly as possible and moving on. Because the battles are going to happen. At least that's how it seems. The battles are going to happen. There's one couple in particular. I ain't gonna get away no details with them, but I just say it's just one couple in particular on there who I just love to see because they're different enough, but they're so similar. But even despite all of that, they just choose each other at the end of the day, and it can. You can see them argue and cry and then smile at each other in the same sentence. I loved it. I think it's dope. It's like they don't over attach themselves to right and wrong. They just know that love is right all the time. And that's what they choose. No matter what. Now, because of that, so, you know, depending on the situations, one of them may have to sacrifice something so that the other one can be good. Or vice versa, you know, but love is sacrifice. That's what it's about. They understand the value of compromise. There we go. Let's take the fairy tale out of it. Compromise. Compromising. It just taught me to be less enamored with right and wrong and be more enamored with compromise. Because if they're worth it, then compromising is always the answer. So tap into it, man. Like I'm getting ready to get into the 2021 series, so it'll be the second season, if you will. I wanted to wait until we got the episode done before I started to watch it, but you know, tap into it. 2019, Amazon Prime, Couples Therapy. I should have looked this up, but it just kept saying it's free to you right now, so I don't know if it's eventually going to cost something, like, because I think it actually might be on Showtime. I don't know, but either way, go find it, watch it, and then get at me on Instagram at BJamesLive. I would love to know if some of these same lessons, like if you tapped into some of these same lessons as well. And then, you know, even if you don't watch it, if you heard something that struck a nerve or tickled your fancy, if you will, get at me on at BJamesLive on Instagram, because I would love to hear your thoughts. All right. Have a great week, baby. Well, you're here for me again. More episodes coming this week, but still, have a great week. God bless. Appreciate you.
Don't go nowhere, I'm coming to see you. And y'all don't want no problems.
It's Brian's World Live.
You ain't seen it happen yet.